Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. It is Tuesday, November 8th of 2022, and today we are talking about the earth reaped prophecy in the book of Revelation. It is about 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and you're listening to Secrets Revealed. Understand the book of Revelation from start to finish. In November of 2022, here on PGN, we have analysis and discussion of the earth reaped prophecy. With me, your book of Revelation research scientist, these discussions are happening live on PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, on Sundays at 12 p.m. Central Time and at 4 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays. Sundays at 12 noon Texas time, 4 p.m. Texas time on Tuesdays. So I invite you to share your perspective, to pose a question or present a prayer request live during the broadcast. Our PGN phone number is 1-319-527-6027. For friends and family who listen all the time, you know how it works. But if you are a new listener, when you call our phone number, and again, that PGN phone number to use live during the broadcast is 1-319-527-6027. It connects you to the broadcast, and you press 1 to raise your hand in our virtual queue. That lets me know that you have a prayer request or you want to pose a question or share your perspective, and that's how you do that. You can call to simply listen and not participate one-on-one, and that's absolutely fine. People sometimes like to do that for weeks, months, or years before they feel comfortable or before they maybe have a question or want to give a prayer request. And so you're encouraged to just join us in a way that makes sense for you. So you are always invited to participate during the live broadcast. You can text your prayer request, your perspective, or your question 24/7 using our PGN text number. So what happens is when you text it, it'll go to Prophet Randy. He will share that with me, and I will follow up during a subsequent broadcast. So let's say you're listening from the archive. Maybe you've downloaded this from Apple, and so you're listening to an archive of this broadcast, and you say, oh, I have a question. You can text that to us, and our PGN text number is 1-214-505-8719. That's 1-214-505-8719. So it's time for us to go into the prophecies in the book of Revelation. And so by my analysis, I have concluded that there are 12 statements with an S, 12 statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. These statements of prophecy appear consecutively, so one after the other. You have your first statement of prophecy, the seven seals prophecy, followed by the seven trumpets prophecy, followed by the 1,260 days prophecy, followed by the 666 Antichrist prophecy, and they continue and culminate with the 12th statement of prophecy, which is the new earth prophecy. In 2023, for each of the 12 months in our calendar year, I will focus singularly on one statement of prophecy. What that means is that if you want to understand the book of Revelation from start to finish, you can do that simply by listening to each broadcast live or from the archive. You will have at a minimum 8 opportunities, depending on the month, as many as 11 opportunities to hear not only the statements of prophecy read, but specific analyses and discussion related to each statement of prophecy. And how that works is this. Our brains need, according to learning experts, 7 touches with complex information in order for a person to be able to successfully retrieve that information on demand. So what does that mean, on demand? When you want to remember something and it's in your long-term memory, do you have the ability to do so? Can you easily access that memory? And the learning experts tell us if you have meaningful interaction, meaningful touches. So in other words, you think about, you process some information 7 times, at a minimum 7 times, then you are extremely likely to be able to successfully access it on demand. So how does that relate to understanding the book of Revelation from start to finish? You could, of course, endeavor on study of the book of Revelation on your own at any time for as short or as long a period as time constraints permit for you. You could also easily connect with PGN with this broadcast, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. And simply by listening, you will gain all of those opportunities to hear each and all of the statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation from start to finish in 2023. So I encourage you to join us, to put it on your calendar, to plan now, to participate with PGN, to be a part of this Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish broadcast. You can do that by participating live. You can do it by listening to the archive at the same time every week. Do it in a way that makes sense for you, that allows you to do it consistently. And so, this month, in November of 2022, we're talking about the Earth Reaped Prophecy. It is in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. It includes verses 6 to 20 of chapter 14. So chapter 14 has 2 statements of prophecy, the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, as well as the prophecy, and today we're going to be focusing on prophecy number 6 in the book of Revelation, and I want to go ahead and read that to you now. So reading from the New Living Translation, let's hear both the movie trailer in words for the Earth Reaped Prophecy, as well as its full prophetic report. So what am I saying here? The book of Revelation utilizes a sophisticated technique. And keep in mind that the book of Revelation is the culminating work of the Word of God. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there are 66 books in the Bible. The 66th book, the final book, the culminating work. So if you will, it is the end of the world described, contrasted with the beginning of the world. So Genesis is the beginning. Revelation is the end. Let me say it another way. Before time began, there was eternity past. And after time ends, there will be eternity future. And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But what was before the beginning? Before the beginning was eternity past. Well, what's, again, after the end? After the end of the world is eternity future. So what am I saying? At some point, a known point a defined period in time, present earth will be no more. We will go beyond the present earth and transition to the new earth. So the final statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation describes our transition to the new earth. And why do we care about that? We care about that because on the new earth, we have, according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, no more death, no more anguish, no more sorrow, no more mourning, no more grief, no more pain. Specifically, in the Amplified Classic Translation, it says, quote, reading from verse 4 of chapter 21, the former order of things have passed away. So what does that mean? We are currently in the former order of things. We are transitioning to the new world order. The new world order is Satan's counterfeit. It is a counterfeit of God's new order. When does God's new order come? It comes at time number 3. That's when we transition from the present earth to the new earth. Today, we are about to go to looking at the earth reaped prophecy, and we need some specific points in time defined so that we can understand the prophecy, so that we can unlock the important secrets revealed in the earth reaped prophecy. As human beings, we tend to think of time this way: 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, maybe we think of 100 years, but God speaks of time with larger quantities, 1,000 years. For example, in Revelation chapter 20, 1,000 years is covered in 10 verses in the millennial reign prophecy, verses 1 to 10 of chapter 20. When we talk about this earth-reaped prophecy, we're talking about more even than 1,000 years. So let's define 3 specific points in time. Of course, there are many points in time, right? So again, we're talking about eternity past, the beginning of time. When's that? That's described in Genesis. And then we contrast the beginning of time with the end of time. Well, when's that? The end of the world, the end of the age. So you say, the end of the world, how is the world going to end? We're going from a world that is fallen, a world that includes death, sorrow, pain, grief, anguish, and mourning. That's the present order of things, to a new order, God's new order of things. And in God's new order of things, we will be on a new earth. There will be a new heaven. And according to Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, death shall be no more, neither shall there be anguish, sorrow, and mourning, nor grief, nor pain anymore. For the old conditions and the former order of things have passed away. So let's talk about 3 points in time that we need to consider as we look at the earth-reaped prophecy. So let's define time number 1 as the second coming. So when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, he returns as the Lion of the tribe of Judah for the purposes of waging a war in righteousness. He will wage a war. He will fight and win the Battle of Armageddon in a specific location, Israel. That's time number one. In that same timing, something very important happens. His second coming includes the transition from mortality to immortality for those who are in Christ. So every person who is Team Jesus, so I'm not talking about people who believe that Jesus was a prophet, because many people believe Jesus was a prophet. For example, in the holy book of in Islam, their holy book is the Quran, and in that book it says that Jesus is a prophet. But in the Bible, talking about the mystery of the Godhead, it is reported that Jesus is not simply a prophet. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus is both the Son of God and the Son of Man. So Jesus returns. In other words, God the Father in human form returns to the earth at time number one. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's when every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life transitions from mortality to immortality. That's the first resurrection, also known as the marriage of the Lamb. Time number two is the second resurrection. In the Bible, in Revelation chapter 20, it's referred to as the great white throne judgment. Time number three is when the final resting place, the final location that every human being who was ever created, the final location at which every human being will dwell in eternity future. So in other words, the end of the world is coming. What does that mean? This present earth will be no more. Instead, it will transition to a new earth, a perfected earth, in the same way that this body that you are in, which is a corruptible body, it has an expiration date, it reaches a peak, and then it begins to decay. This earth is decaying. This earth is under the curse. This earth is imperfect and corruptible and corrupted, but we are transitioning to a new earth as described in the culminating prophecy in the book of Revelation. So that's time number three. So what happens at time number three? At time number three, we have two trajectories for human beings. So all humans who were resurrected at time number one transitioned to the new earth. All human beings who were resurrected at time number two transitioned to the lake of fire. Let me say this another way. Every creation of the Creator that is human will either become a member of the royal race, which means that the person is resurrected at time number one. If the person is alive, the person transitions without ever experiencing death, but transitions in the twinkling of an eye from a corruptible body to an incorruptible body. If the person is disembodied and living in heaven, the person puts on, as a soul and spirit, puts on a new perfected version of his or her body. both rising up to meet Jesus in the clouds at the time of the second coming, as described in Thessalonians. And so this happens at time number one, the transition to immortality. But at time, let me continue there. At time number one, every person who is in Christ transitions from mortality to immortality. And what that means is that at time number two, the time of the great white throne judgment, that person has been dwelling on the present earth, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years. After the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this present earth, some noteworthy events occur. And again, we're doing this as a foundation to understand the earth reaped prophecy. After 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this present earth, the devil is destroyed and thrown into the lake of fire. And then every person who did not participate in the first resurrection is resurrected at time number two to participate in the great white throne judgment. Let's hear that. That statement of prophecy is important to understand the earth reaped prophecy, because the earth reaped prophecy covers thousands of years. So we have to understand time one, time two, and time three. So what happens at time number two? In our discussion, we're defining time number two as 1,000 years after the return of Jesus Christ, after the devil has been thrown into the lake of fire, and now we are at the timing of the second resurrection. That's described in Revelation 20 in the dead judged prophecy. I want to read that to you now. Verses 11 to 15 explain what happens at time number two. And I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne, and the books were opened, including the book of life, and the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. That's time number two. So at time number one, there's the first resurrection. At time number two, there's the second resurrection, which is when all of the dead are resurrected for the purposes of participation in the great white throne judgment. So either an individual participates in the first resurrection or the great white throne judgment. The first resurrection or the second resurrection, which happens for everyone who participates as a defendant at the great white throne judgment. Resurrection one, resurrection two, time one and time two. So those events happen 1,000 years apart. And then now let's talk about time three, and then we're going to go to the prophecy. At time number three, after all five enemies of God are destroyed, the Antichrist has been destroyed. The false prophet has been destroyed, both at the Battle of Armageddon. The devil has been destroyed at the end of the millennial reign. Every person who is Team Satan, who has pledged allegiance, who is a son or daughter of Satan, is destroyed. When does that happen? at the end of the great white throne judgment we just heard. You heard in verse 15 of chapter 20, and anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And then finally, the fifth enemy is destroyed, death itself. Death is thrown into the lake of fire. That's verse 14. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. Okay, after this, the second resurrection, time number three is the transition to eternity future. So at that point, time number three, there's a bifurcation. All humans are either experiencing eternal damnation in the lake of fire for the eternities of eternity. So that's beyond time. That's after the end of time, which is the period known as eternity future, the eternities of eternities. That's what it's called in the book of Revelation. So either a person is in the lake of fire that burns with fiery brimstone forever and ever. That's eternal damnation, but it's a physical location. The lake of fire, or the person, a member of the royal race, and transitions to living on the new earth. So it's never the case that a person has a third option. There are only those two options: eternal life on the new earth or eternal damnation in the lake of fire. So after the end of the world, the end of this age, the end of this present earth, every human being will exist in bodily form, either on the new earth in an immortal, perfected, glorified body, or in the lake of fire with some form of body. Now, what form of body does a person have if the person is dwelling in heaven? I don't know, but it says over and over in the Bible that in the lake of fire, there's gnashing of teeth. So in order to gnash one's teeth, you have to have teeth that can be gnashed. And teeth exist in the context of a body. So there's some form of body that a person will continue to have. I can't tell you exactly what it looks like. I don't see where that's specifically described in the Bible, although it might be there. So now let's hear the earth reaps prophecy. How does it work? In Revelation chapter 14, we have a description of what happens at the second coming of Jesus Christ, and how human beings will be harvested. God wants a forever family. And so every person will either be harvested, gleaned from the earth, and transitioning to the new earth, or the person will be separated from all who will be a part of the forever family of Jesus Christ, and that person will go to the lake of fire. So let's hear this prophecy, beginning with verse 6 of chapter 14. It says, "And I saw another angel flying through the sky, carrying the eternal good news to proclaim to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Fear God," he shouted. "Give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water." Then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, "Babylon is fallen, that great city is fallen, because she made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality." Then a third angel followed them, shouting, "Anyone who worships the beast and his statue, or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand, must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night. For they have worshipped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. Let's pause there. That's the movie trailer in words, also known as the abstract. So when we're looking at professional writing, and the Bible is the highest level of professional writing that exists. It is the Word of God, and the book of Revelation is the most complex book in the Bible, in my opinion. And we see that it uses a format, a strategy used when we look at complex nonfiction reports. So in 2022, if you look at the highest level of academic scholarship that exists in the world, so whether you're in Israel or the United States of America or the United Kingdom or Australia, when you look at a scientific peer-reviewed journal, for example, the New England Journal of Medicine, all of these nonfiction reports follow this format. First, an abstract appears. That's a movie trailer in words for a complex nonfiction report. That abstract is followed by the full report. So just like a movie trailer, it's a summary. It gives the highlights, the key conflicts or players, the key information. And just like a movie, when you see information in the full report that also appeared in the abstract, you're not confused because you understand that the abstract was the super short version of the full report. So when we go see the Wakanda Forever movie and we see scenes, most or all of the scenes that we saw in the Wakanda Forever movie trailer, we're not confused by that. We don't think, oh, this happened two times. We understand that now we're seeing the movie in its entirety, and so we're going to see again what we saw in the movie trailer at some point in the movie. So the book of Revelation is like that. That's one of the important secrets for understanding it. Know, number one, what statement of prophecy are you in? Where does it start and where does it end? Once you know that, you've unlocked half of the important secrets about the geography. So the earth-reaped prophecy begins with verse 6 of chapter 14, and it ends with verse 20. Now, the second secret we need to unlock about the geography is, well, where is the movie trailer, and then where does the movie in its entirety begin? So we just heard the abstract. Now we go to the full report, which begins with verse 13 and ends with verse 20. So what were some of the highlights from the movie trailer? There were many. I want to share with you from my perspective the key ones. We heard, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. So we see in the abstract, the movie trailer for the earth-reaped prophecy, that some group of people are going into tormenting fire that burns with sulfur forever and ever. So that's for the eternities of eternities. So that was important. We also heard the time has come when he will sit as judge. That's in verse 7 of chapter 14. Now, when does Jesus Christ sit as judge? At the return, at his second coming. And then, of course, there's the great white throne judgment, time number two. Specifically, in the movie trailer, it talks about what will happen to those who take the mark of the beast. So there's the mark of the beast, which will be administered during the 3.5-year Great Tribulation period. And God is particularly interested in giving both warnings, admonitions, as well as words of consolation. These are words designed to provide hope in the context of distressing information. So in the book of Revelation, we have warnings and consolations for the saints with respect to what is happening during the Great Tribulation. And so we hear specifically that for every person whose team Satan takes the mark of the beast during the Great Tribulation, that those individuals, they're going to drink the wine of God's anger. Now, this is very interesting. What is the wine of God's anger? That's the great wine press. At the beginning of our time together today, I shared that time number one is the second coming. Time number two, and I'm saying time one, two, and three for the purposes of understanding the earth-reaped prophecy. Of course, there are many points in time, right? But talking about this specific prophecy to unlock its secrets, let's talk about 3 points in time, with the first point being the second coming of Jesus Christ, which includes some important events. Every person whose team Jesus transitioning from mortality to immortality, that's the first resurrection, and it also includes the Battle of Armageddon. Now, in this movie trailer, we heard the wine press and how everyone, how Babylon, a specific city is going to drink the wine, how that specific city caused the world to drink the wine of her passionate immorality. And then we hear how now every person who has the mark of the beast in verse 10 must drink the wine of God's anger. What's the take-home point? The wine of God's anger refers to the great wine press, which is the Battle of Armageddon. Now, this is important because it's mentioned in the movie trailer. And at the end of this movie, we're going to see a description of what happens at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. So it goes so fast when you look at this prophetic report, and you have to look at multiple scriptures and prophecies in the book of Revelation to unlock the secrets. So let's talk briefly about the great wine press. I want to prove to you that the great wine press is talking about the Battle of Armageddon. And to do that, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 19. So in Revelation chapter 19, there is the marriage supper prophecy. So this is the ninth statement of prophecy. It includes verses 6 to 21 of chapter 19. And in the marriage supper prophecy, we hear a report of the Battle of Armageddon, which happens in the timing of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so looking at Revelation chapter 19, verses, I'm going to go to the verse that talks about the great wine press specifically. In verses 11 to 15, we hear the evidence that the great wine press is the Battle of Armageddon, which is a war waged in righteousness that's fought and won by Jesus Christ as well as the armies of heaven. Now, why does this matter? When you look at the earth-reaped prophecy, at the end of it, it's describing what happens to every person who is Team Satan at the Battle of Armageddon. Every person who is in the wine press at the Battle of Armageddon. So we need to know what the wine press is in order to unlock the secret of the Earth prophecy. Okay, so verses 11 to 15 of chapter 19, reading from the New Living Translation, say, "Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war." So this is telling us about the second coming. Jesus Christ is about to return. So, of course, there's the marriage of the Lamb, the first resurrection, but this specific prophecy focuses on another thing that happens during the time of the second coming, and that's the Battle of Armageddon, which follows the first resurrection. Let's continue in verse 12. It says, "His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God." So we know it's Jesus Christ. Let's continue. In verse 14, it says, "The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses." So what is this? This is a picture, a report of what is literally going to happen with respect to the seventh trumpet war. Jesus Christ is coming, and he is coming with the armies of heaven. Verse 15 continuing says, "From his mouth," talking about Jesus Christ, "came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords." So we hear right there that the wine press refers to what happens when Jesus Christ comes to fight a war waged in righteousness. That's the Battle of Armageddon. That's the seventh trumpet war. That's the war to end all wars. And so now it's time for us to continue with looking at the full prophecy of the Earth Reaped prophecy. We heard the movie trailer. Now let's get the full report. It is in, it continues immediately following the movie trailer. We have the full report of the Earth Reaped prophecy, verses 14 to 20. Now remember, this covers a long period of time, and we're going to unlock these secrets. Let's hear that full report right now. It says, beginning with verse 14 of chapter 14 and going to the end of the chapter, reading from the New Living Translation, "Then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, 'Swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe.' So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested." Now let's stop there. What is the crop on earth? At the time of the second coming, it is immediately following the Great Tribulation, which is the wrath of Satan. Then there's the wrath of God, culminating with the Battle of Armageddon. So there are the seven plagues culminating with the Battle of Armageddon, the seven final plagues culminating with the Battle of Armageddon. Before the Battle of Armageddon, there's the marriage of the Lamb, but it all happens in that same timing. So the first resurrection is the marriage of the Lamb. It's followed by the marriage supper, which is the Battle of Armageddon, described in chapter 19 in the marriage supper prophecy. So this is talking about God is finally getting his forever family. So what has the earth delivered? What can be reaped from the earth? What does God value more than anything? He wants a family, a forever family. What is the purpose of this whole thing called time, which began with Genesis, the beginning of time after eternity passed, and which ends, end of the age? The whole purpose of this is for God to get his forever family that will rule and reign with him, that will be with him forever on the new earth for the eternities of eternities, beyond time. And so, first, at the time of the harvest, the crop on the earth is harvested. That's the first resurrection. Let's hear that again. Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, "Swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe." So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. So the harvest includes those who are here in Christ at the time of the second coming, as well as every person who is in heaven right now as a disembodied spirit. So all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, all who are Team Jesus, all of the fish, all of the wheat, all of the sheep, everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is harvested. All are harvested at the same time. In Thessalonians, we're told that first, it's those who are in heaven put on their incorruptible bodies, and then we who are here on the earth at the time of the second coming, we closely thereafter, soon thereafter, we rise up to meet them, both groups, meeting Jesus in the clouds, having put on our glorified, perfected, immortal bodies. So that is the first resurrection. That's the harvest of the crop on the earth. Let's continue in this earth-reaped prophecy, because the earth-reaped includes more than just one group, which are those who are Team Jesus. The second group includes those who are Team Satan. So let's hear about that. In verse 17 it says, "After that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel who had power to destroy with fire came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, 'Swing your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment.' So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath." Now, we heard earlier what the winepress is. This is when every person who has the mark of the beast, who is at the Battle of Armageddon, fighting in the armies led by the Antichrist and the false prophet during this seventh trumpet war, those individuals think that they are going to destroy Israel, but they are actually going to their own destruction. They will fight and lose the Battle of Armageddon. They will be destroyed. In other words, they will experience death, the first death in the great winepress. Now, when every person dies, a person who is Team Satan, continues to exist, but goes to a location known as Hades. If a person dies right now, that person goes to, and the person is in Christ, that person goes to a location, which is heaven. So when these individuals, at the time of the Battle of Armageddon, who have the mark of the beast, who are fighting in the armies of the 10-nation alliance, described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, it's going to dominate economic affairs, political affairs. People will get this mark of the beast so they can buy and sell and participate in the one world economy. Now, will there be other economies? Yes. But this will be the dominating economy, and most people will bow to pressure. They will get the mark of the beast. And if they are in Israel, in the very large armies of the 10-nation alliance, they're going into the great wine press. Now, what's going to happen? So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great wine press of God's wrath. Now, here we hear in the last verse specifically what happens to those individuals. The grapes were trampled in the wine press outside the city, and blood flowed from the wine press in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. Now, why is this described in the book of Revelation? There are three important points in time to consider to unlock the secrets of this prophecy. Time one, the first resurrection. That is followed by the Battle of Armageddon. These individuals who experience God's wrath because they have the mark of the beast, they are in Israel fighting against the armies of heaven, but on the side of the armies of the 10-nation alliance, they are under the leadership of the Antichrist and the false prophet. These individuals will experience the first death. But what ultimately is their fate? Their fate is participation at time number two in the great white throne judgment described in the dead judged prophecy in Revelation chapter 20. And at time number three, eternity future, these individuals will transition to the lake of fire. That's eternal damnation. So what is the trajectory of life? Every human being has perfect continuity of life for the eternities of eternities. We must begin with that secret unlocked in the book of Revelation. However, there are two trajectories that exist. Human beings go from the present earth to the new earth, or they go from the present earth to the lake of fire. Now, how does this happen? We're talking about the second group, every person who's Team Satan. We've already discussed what happens for everyone who's Team Jesus, but just to recap, every person who is in Christ, the good fish, the wheat, the sheep, every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, at time number one, transitions from mortality to immortality, puts on an incorruptible body, rises to meet Jesus Christ in the clouds at the time of the second coming, is here for the Battle of Armageddon. That's the marriage supper, which follows the marriage. So the marriage of the Lamb is the first resurrection. The marriage supper is the Battle of Armageddon. That's described in Revelation chapter 19. Every person in Christ at time number two dwells on the present earth. What's time number two? The time of the great white throne judgment. But no person who is in Christ is a defendant at the great white throne judgment, because every person who is Team Jesus has transitioned from humanity to being a member of the royal race. We will have transitioned from being a human to being a member of the royal race. We will have transitioned from mortality to immortality. So when it says all are judged, who were the all? All who are human, all who failed to participate in the first resurrection, all who are Team Satan, all who are the bad fish, the tares, the weeds, the goats, all whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so at time number two, the time of the great white throne judgment, they are judged, and then their final location is the lake of fire. Perfect continuity of life happens with life continuing in the location of the lake of fire that burns with sulfur and brimstone forever and ever. That's eternal damnation. Well, where does eternal damnation happen? In the lake of fire. Where does eternal life happen? That happens on the new earth. Okay. Now let's talk about this, because you might say, research scientists, I am not persuaded that my options are limited to participation on the new earth as a member of the royal race and participation for the eternities of eternities in eternal damnation in the lake of fire. You might say, that seems narrow to me. Surely there's a third option at a minimum. And my response to you is, surely there's not. Surely there's not. And let's go to the Word of God to hear what the Word of God tells us about what happens for each human for the eternities of eternity. So Jesus Christ gave three parables to explain ultimately these two finite options. That means there are singularly two options for what happens for the eternities of eternities. In other words, this present world is ending. The end of the age is coming. We're going to the end of time. And after the end of time is eternity future. And Jesus Christ gave three parables reported in the book of Matthew. We're going to hear those three parables. The parable of the wheat and weeds. Some translations say the wheat and the tares. We're going to hear that in a moment. He also gave the parable of the fishing net, and he also gave the parable of the wheat and the goats. Let's start with what I think is the easiest of the three parables to decipher. So a parable is a story given for the purposes of revealing truth to those who have a heart for truth, and concealing truth for those who have a hardened heart. So Jesus on purpose used parables because he only wanted those who had a heart to know the truth, to know the truth. And for those who had hardened hearts, who didn't genuinely want to know the truth, for it to be concealed for them. Imagine you have two sons and you're going to leave $1 million for the son who wants you, who wants the truth, the son who loves you. But you also have a son who doesn't truly love you. A son who has rejected you, a son who has rejected your truth. yet you are surely going to leave $1 million. So how do you make sure that the son who loves you finds $1 million and that the $1 million remains hidden from the son who has rejected you? Jesus's strategy for doing that was to use the parable. So let's hear these three parables again. You might say, research scientists, there are more than two options for what happens to a human being. And my response is, clearly Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, reports in the Bible that there are only two options: eternal life in a perfected, glorified body as a member of the royal race on the new earth. That's option one. And then that option is for everyone who's a good fish, a sheep, part of the wheat, whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then option two is for everyone who's a bad fish, a tare, a weed, a goat, whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, let's hear in Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 50, the parable of the fishing net. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a fishing net that was thrown into the water and caught fish of every kind. When the net was full, they dragged it up onto the shore, sat down, and sorted the good fish into crates, but threw the bad ones away. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. Did you hear that, friend? Let's hear it again. That is the way it will be at the end of the world. The angels will come and separate the wicked people from the righteous, throwing the wicked into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's it, friend. So what is Jesus telling us here? At the end of the world, all of the bad ones, the bad fish who have been separated from the good fish, will go to option two. And option two is living in the fiery furnace, the lake of fire, eternal damnation forever and ever. And it says here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 50, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So what does that mean, friend? If you're weeping, you have emotions. So we're all three in one: body, spirit, and soul. We live in a physical body. We have a soul, which represents our, which includes our mind, will, and emotions, and we have a spirit. When you leave this present earth, if you are in group two, you will continue to have a soul. You will continue to have emotions, and you say, well, I don't think so. So it says right here, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So if a person is weeping, the person is weeping due to experiencing distressing emotions. It makes sense that a person would feel distressed when the person is experiencing life separated from God. When the person knows that he or she is living in the outer darkness. In some places in the Bible, the lake of fire is referred to as outer darkness. So maybe that lake of fire is in a location within outer darkness. I don't know. But weeping means that One is having distressing emotions. Weeping is a response to distressing emotions. It's a reflection of experiencing negative emotions. We have emotions because we have a soul. In order to have emotions, we have to be thinking. There's perfect continuity of life for those who are the bad fish. And that continuity of life at time number three, that's after we transition to the new earth, for everyone in group two, that continuity of life includes a body, because it says here gnashing of teeth. Well, you can't gnash your teeth unless you have teeth. And if you have teeth, they exist in the context, presumably, of a body. Now, what exactly the body looks like for those who will be in the lake of fire, it's not described in any of these three parables. But friend, that's the least of our concerns, right? Our concern is, what are your options? What are the options for each human being? So option two is eternal damnation in the lake of fire, described here in verse 50 as a fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that's one proof. Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 50, the parable of the fishing net, where we just heard that the good fish go into crates, but the bad fish are thrown away. Now, who are the good fish? That's the earth's crop, described in the earth reaped prophecy. So the good fish go into crates. So where do you go if you're a good fish? You transition at time three to the new earth. You want to do that, friend. I think that that is a decision you want to make. Why? In Revelation chapter 21, in describing the new earth, it says, on this new earth, death shall be no more. I'm reading from verse 4 of chapter 21 in the book of Revelation. Death shall be no more, neither shall there be anguish, sorrow, and mourning, nor grief, nor pain anymore. So contrast that with weeping and gnashing of teeth that's happening in the lake of fire. Okay, so you get to decide where you want to go. If you're hearing my voice, that means that you're on this present earth and you have the opportunity to find and follow God's plan that will allow you to be in group number one. What's group number one? The good fish. Those who go into the crates, that's the new earth, not those who go into, in this parable, not the bad fish that are thrown away. Let's go to another parable. Let's go to the parable of the sheep and the goats. And again, Jesus revealed on three different occasions using three parables exactly what is reported in the earth reaped prophecy. So in the earth reaped prophecy, it's an actual report of events in our future. But Jesus prophesied. He prophesied these events using parables. He wanted those who have a heart for the truth seekers who are listening to this broadcast, you don't listen to PGN unless you are a truth seeker. Truth seekers have a heart to hear the truth. A truth seeker hears the truth and then says, let me revise my thinking so that it includes this new information, which is true. So when we look at the Bible, the way to do that is to use the word of God to inform our thinking. So we don't go to the Bible to prove that what we already think is true. We go to the Bible to find out what is true. And then once we find out what is true as revealed in the Bible, then we change our thinking. Okay, truth seeker, let's hear the sheep and the goats. That's in Matthew chapter 25. And in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus shares what activities those who find and follow him, those who are team Jesus, those who are the good fish, what kind of behaviors do the good fish engage in? Now, sometimes people find Jesus and then they die the next day or the next week or the next year, and they didn't have a chance to do much for the kingdom. But let's say you find and follow the will of God. What are you really doing with your time? And in this parable, Jesus describes the good fish do with respect to behaviors and what the bad fish do. And at the end of the parable, he says, in verses 45 and 46, he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now, we're going to hear this whole parable, but let's start with the take-home point. The good fish go to eternal life. Who are the good fish? Those who are Team Jesus, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the good fish, the sheep, the righteous. Now, you might say, I am a good person. Certainly I'm righteous. The Bible says that none is good but God, that only Jesus is good, God manifest in the flesh. Friend, if you have one sin, and I have no doubt that it's likely that many people have more sins than you. In fact, I probably have more sins than you. But you can't use me as a way to evaluate your righteousness. Righteousness is being able to stand sinless and blameless in the presence of God. That means the absence of sin. All sin debt cleared away, paid for, no sin. You say, well, how in the world can I do that? Let me engage in 1,000 good deeds. Then I'll be sinless. No, you won't. No, you won't. There's only one way to pay for sin debt, to get it totally cleared, and that's through salvation. That's the only way. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can pay for one sin debt. What's my take-home point here? It says, but the righteous go to eternal life. In verse 46, it says, then they will go away to eternal punishment, talking about the bad fish, but the righteous to eternal life. So only those who are in right standing with God through salvation, through the plan of Jesus Christ for salvation, go to eternal life, which happens at time three. That's eternity future on the new earth. Now, at time number three, eternity future, after the end of the world, a person either goes to eternal life or eternal punishment. Now, you might say, research scientists, I don't believe it. I have to refer you back to Matthew 25, verse 46. It gives those two finite options for the final trajectory of life for all human beings. It tells us that again. We already heard it in the parable of the fishing net in Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 50. Now we're going to hear it again in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. Then they will go away to eternal punishment. That's again, after the end of the world, at time number three, all human beings are going to either one of two locations forever and ever, either to eternal punishment, which is eternal damnation at a specific location, the lake of fire, or a person is going to eternal life at a specific location, the new earth. Now, who's going to eternal life? Those who are righteous, the good fish, those who are Team Jesus, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the sheep, the wheat. Who's going to eternal punishment? Every person who's Team Satan, every person whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, every person who takes the mark of the beast during the Great Tribulation, every person who is a bad fish, every person who's a weed, every person who's a tare. Now, I want to share with you this parable. When you find and follow the will of God, so when you become Team Jesus, so when you become righteous by following God's plan for salvation outlined in the Bible, you become a sheep. If you are Team Satan, you are a goat. The only way to become a sheep is to find and follow the will of God for your life, to experience salvation, to repent of your sins, to have your sin debts paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, and receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way to become a sheep. Now, let's hear this parable. Reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. Then we're going to hear a third parable, again, telling us what happens at time three for all human beings. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne." Now, when is that? That's time number one, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Continuing with verse 32, it says, "All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" That's what's going to happen to those who participate in the first resurrection, the sheep who are now at the right hand of Jesus. Continuing in verse 35, now we're going to hear about what do you do when you become a sheep? What was life like for you before Jesus came when you were a sheep on the earth? It says in verse 35, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we seek you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" So this is Jesus telling us about what do you do when you're a sheep. This is what our lives should look like when we're sheep. Now, in verse 41, we now hear about the goats. "Then he will say to those on his left," the goats, remember the goats are on his left, "then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devils and his angels.'" Let's stop there. The lake of fire was not designed for you or me. It was not designed for any human being. God's will is for every person to become a member of the royal family. But some people will choose to reject God. And that's the choice. That's the right that we have as human beings. In the same way that Adam and Eve sinned, we can choose to remain in sin, or we can be restored to sonship so that we're in the image of God and that we become righteous. But again, God's best for you is not eternal damnation, it's eternal life. Continuing in verse 42, it says, "For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat." This is talking about the goats. "I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord,
When did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So again, in the end, all who are Team Jesus will transition to eternal life on the new earth, and those who are Team Satan will transition to eternal punishment. Now, you might say, hey, I am a good person. I feed the hungry. I give drink to those who are hungry. I fellowship with strangers. I give clothes to the needy. I give money to people who are in prison. And I give money to those who are sick and I visit hospitals. That means I'm righteous. So therefore, I am transitioning to the new earth. No, friend. No, friend. Righteous does not mean engaging in good deeds. Those who are righteous over time have the fruit of righteousness as it is reflected in their deeds. But righteous means being in right standing with God. That means having zero sin, being completely blameless. Now, as you know, you don't want to sin and you do sin. In the Old Testament, no person kept all 10 of the commandments. And now that we are beyond that period of time, no person is keeping the 10 commandments. Only Jesus kept them. The purpose of the law was to demonstrate that we need a Savior, that it's impossible for us to not sin on this fallen earth in our fallen state. So being righteous means being in right standing with God. We can only get the remission of our sins, the payment of that sin debt, through a mediator, and that mediator is Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, that blood, that death is your payment. So the soul that sinneth shall die. So when he died, but he hadn't committed any sins, now that can substitute for your payment. So you die with him when you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and therefore your sin debt is paid because he already died. Okay, friend, I want to make sure that we're all clear that righteous means in right standing with God, not good deeds. Finally, let's hear the parable of the wheat and the weeds. In Matthew chapter 13, it says, here's another story Jesus told. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the workers slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The farmer's workers went to him and said, sir, the field where you planted that good seed is full of weeds. Where did they come from? An enemy has done this, the farmer exclaimed. Shall we pull out the weeds, they asked. No, he replied. You'll uproot the wheat if you do. Let both grow together until the harvest. Who are both, friend? The good fish and the bad fish. The wheat and the weeds. The sheep and the goats. It says right here, both grow together until the harvest. When's that? That's when the earth is reaped. That's the secret revealed in the earth-reaped prophecy. It says, let both grow until the harvest. We're in Matthew chapter 13, verse 30. Then I will tell the harvesters. Who are the harvesters? The angels. Then I will tell the harvesters to sort out the weeds, tie them into bundles and burn them, and to put the wheat in the barn. So what is this saying? The weeds, the bad fish who are thrown out, the goats who go to eternal punishment, it says right here that they're going to be burned.
Why are they going to be burned? Because they're going into the lake of fire. They're going into the lake of fire. Then it says, then leaving the crowds outside, Jesus went into the house. His disciples said, please explain to us the story of the weeds in the field. Jesus replied, the Son of Man is the farmer who plants the good seed. The field is the world. And the good seed represents the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people who belong to the evil one. The enemy who planted the weeds among the wheat is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the harvesters are the angels. Just as the weeds are sorted out and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the world. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will remove from his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And the angels will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Friend, I pray that you have listened, and I pray that you understand. You are a truth seeker, and so thank you for listening and understanding. Join us next time when we'll continue talking about the earth reaped prophecy.